Hi, I'm Francina.
I'm Jackie.
And welcome to the Rest, Love, and Justice podcast.
This podcast is an inquiry into whether rest and love and justice can produce transformative social change. The dominant narrative is this overwork and this glorification of it, especially in the justice space. And here, we're going to question that notion.
Come sit with us as we meet our collective humanity and share stories around rest, love, and justice. It is our hope to create a shift that enables us to recognize that racial justice work is a human issue. It affects us all.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rest, Love, and Justice podcast. I'm Jackie Gao.
And I am Francina Call.
Today, we're going to talk about connection and actually a little reflection. It's been over 3 years since this country's racial justice reckoning. And where are we at? Yeah. What has shifted? What has changed? What's going on? With what we thought was this huge movement of change and where we are right now. I think it's really important as a white body person to talk about this as well. We've had many conversations about this, that during the uprisings of 2020, after the murder of George Floyd by police and many other Black people in this country, white people were so kind of just reaching out, like you said, any Black person they could talk to, any Black business they could support, how to just help in some way. And I remember reading at some point in 2020, this Black ceramic artist I follow saying, white people are more concerned with being a good consumer than a good community member.
Mm. Wow. Let's just pause on that for a minute. And I feel like it just speaks so deeply to how consumed we are with consumerism and not with the connection of human beings and community. So that's such an important entry point for us in this conversation. So thank you for introducing that to us.
And thanks for slowing me down. I mean, even I was up here, even just the discomfort in my body of where we're at in terms of racial equity in this country, where we were in 2020 and where we are now in 2023. So I appreciate that. And the other theme I do want to talk about is white fatigue, something where white people in this country are very claiming to be concerned about racial justice, but then there's not a lot of action or movement because as white body people, we can ignore the problem. We're not faced with the issues every day in our lives. And how can we look at and reflect it within ourselves and then also just look at what action needs to be taken to and be in community, not as a consumer, but as a real community member.
Yeah. I will say, as a Black bodied woman, I have less white friends now than I did when 2020 began. And there is a part of my spirit, my psyche, my body that became awakened to just how much trauma, terror, and energy I was holding for white people. And I feel like the racial reckoning enabled me and so many other Black people to recognize that we're carrying so much energy that isn't ours. And I love that you bring up even the point of white fatigue and how many people can disengage because they can put it down. And they're like, oh, it's too exhausting. And so this conversation is just really maybe a nibble into staying connected to this movement in a way that can really continue to facilitate healing in our communities, not just for people of color, but if we're sick, everyone is sick. Even though people think that they're putting this down, our community is sick and hemorrhaging right now. And I think it's just such an important point to just sort of pivot and look back, reflect a little bit on where we've gone. And I will say, I have a small business. I sell tea, Be Still Tea, shameless plug. And I remember 2020, I made so many sales because everybody was looking for a Black-owned business that they could purchase from. That's gone away. I have a few people that are still connected, but for the most part, it's kind of dwindled down into nothing because there isn't sort of that momentum. And so this conversation is about us and leaning into what keeps us connected when there isn't sort of this mass surge of momentum, right? If we are looking at creating communities that are equal, loving, balanced, how do we stay engaged with the people in the community and not just the consumerism that really allows us to purchase and look away and not really be able to continue to look in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think too, as it relates to what, you know, what has been something for me, I don't claim to be a perfect anti-racist person by any means, but I think what's been continually helpful, which we've talked a lot about, is just reading. Mm-hmm. Reading is a form of listening to another person's experience in the world, continuing to read, and that paired with some sort of action as well. We both are in a program with Resma Menekin, an author of an amazing book called My Grandmother's Hands. And the course is an embodied anti-racism course. And there is a lot of commitment within that course. Like, it's not just you take something for the weekend.
Yeah.
You are in it. There is a lot expected of you. I would highly recommend the course for anyone who's interested, but something where you need to be sustained in the work. It's mm-hmm. not one weekend or it's not one purchase from a Black business. It's something ongoing. And then I think the balance for me as a white body person too, of like where I know I'm going to do harm in relationships with people, with Black and brown people, bodies of culture. But like, how can I be in a committed relationship to those where feedback is given to me mm-hmm. of you're actually not being a great friend or you're not being an ally in this moment. And I'm definitely grateful for this friendship. I feel like you have shared with me in times where I've failed, where mm-hmm. I have not been radically responsible for my actions. I'm very grateful for you for that, but also knowing that that takes energy from you, something we've talked about before. But knowing that I can't have 20 relationships like that and be like really, like I can't have like 100 new friends where I'm like connected to everyone, but rather it needs to be like small and like consensual friendships that where we're ready to be in community with one another. And that I think too, Resma Menekin says, like, don't go out looking for a new Black friend to be friends with. Like, don't do that. Or a new partner in your business. Like, rather just be who you are in the world.
That's right.
Continue to show up in your community, however that is. And then you will find the people that you need to do this work.
Absolutely. And even as you speak, I'm feeling prompted to just clarify when I say I have less white friends. Part of the arc of that journey is for me, I learned who I was and what role I played in a lot of relationships that I had with white people in my life. And it turns out for a lot of them, I was sort of the token Black friend. I was like the one person they could name that they were friends with that made them not look racist. And it didn't go so well when I was no longer willing to be that for them. And if you were going to have me as a friend, you needed to do the work of understanding what my lived experience was. And a lot of them didn't want to do that. And I also, as a Black woman, needed to disconnect myself from the narrative that I do not matter because they don't want to do the work, right? And so I want to speak to my brown brothers and sisters that are listening to this podcast right now, a person's choice to not stay engaged in racial equity work or to stay engaged in the process of learning about your lived experience. And to be clear, the process of learning is not just, you know, the materials that they consume or books that they read, but it's also being willing to sit and listen to the ways that they're showing up in that said relationship that are harmful or detrimental. right? And a lot of people were not willing to do that. I had a friend that I'd had for probably 13 years. She was a godmother to one of my children. And for 2 years, I said, this is what I'm going through. And each time I would share with her what was my lived experience as a Black woman, she would actually cry and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is your experience. And I would recommend all these books to her. And she wouldn't read them. And 2 years in, we're having another racial conversation about what happened to one of my children. She cried again. And I said, have you read the books? And she said, oh no, I haven't. They're still sitting on my nightstand. And so I was at a pivoting point to say, huh, do I matter enough in this relationship for you to step into the world to understand what my lived experience was? I had a choice in that moment. And I said, you know what? It's okay that you choose not to engage with the materials that will help you to understand my lived experience. Your tears for me do not feel sincere or real because you're crying, but you're doing nothing to understand my experience or how you could be a part of what is making my lived experience what it is. And so I had to ask for a pause in the relationship because it was harmful and wearing on my psyche. She wanted me to be her teacher. And she kept saying, well, I learned so much from our conversations, but she wasn't willing to do the work herself. And so this is just an example, right, of as white-bodied people, if you care about Black people in your lives or brown people in your lives, doing the work of understanding what their experience is pivotal because it allows you to engage with the ways that you are engaging in practices and systems that are actually detrimental to the people that you say that you care about.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you sharing that. And that, I mean, you are a guide to so many. However, it's not your role. Like
That's
people
right.
need to come, especially white body people need to come to this work with their own energy and
right.
do the research and not just rely on their only Black or brown friend to give them the resources that they need to do. And that can be done in community with white people, other white bodies, to do that work to make sure we're not causing any additional harm.
Right.
Like we can do the readings and be able to connect with what's going on in our bodies as we're maybe hear a story that is really important for it not to be, you know, with all our Black and brown friends. Like it can be done, I think, in communities and definitely in structured ones.
Yes, yes. And I will say, I mean, just like I always do, all of the work I offer to the world is tracking in our bodies, right? Is embodiment work. And so for white-bodied people listening to this, if your Black friend or brown friend comes and says, what you said made me feel X, Y, and Z, track in your body what is coming up for you. Are you able to pause and listen? Receive and sit with what they're saying without needing to jump into, well, that's not what I meant. It doesn't matter what you meant, right? And we talked about this in, I think, one of the podcasts we recorded about learning how to truly listen and receive. Because when you can listen and receive, that's where the real transformation begins happening. When we project or respond in defensiveness, we've moved outside our bodies. And we've created a force shield around us that prevents the actual teaching or the learning that needs to emerge from this conversation or interaction. We create a barrier that can't happen now. And so if there's anything you leave with, we're going to be following this theme. It's going to come back. We're going to keep reminding people to stay engaged with this work. And we're just going to list some resources that we lean into and love. I'm currently listening again to the book written by Dr. Sean Jenright called The Four Pivots. Incredible book. And is really, I mean, one of my favorite pieces in the book that he talks about is mirror work and being able to have a mirror to look at where you are right now, but also tracking who are your mirrors? Who are the people that are in your life right now that are reflections of where you are, right? If you're white and you move in white circles and none of y'all talk about anything that is impacting communities of culture or people of color or how you're remaining engaged, that is your mirror. if you want to create a shift, then you need to pay attention to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, too, I just want to say around the theme of white fragility and also like white fatigue is like even just the acknowledgement of that as a possibility is super important, that I have the advantage that I can have white fatigue. Mm. I can just step out of the conversation. Yeah. I cannot have a conversation around race with some of the community I'm in. And there's just something around the acknowledgement of that advantage. Action absolutely needs to be combined with that, in my opinion. Definitely listening is the first start. Listening, action, like going back and forth between those. But just the acknowledgement of the advantage, it needs to be forefront. It's the first thing in order to then see how I can contribute. And they'll never be enough.
Yeah.
That I will never be able to donate enough or like be in partnership enough to really counter any of the advantages that I have to the harm, the murders, like the horrors that have happened on the territory that is now the United States, and also sitting with that.
Yeah. And I just want to kind of bring us back to the theme of our podcast. Well-rested people love themselves well. And when you love yourself well, you will have the capacity to love your community. And when you love your community, you will engage in justice work that will create the transformational change that we need to all be safe, cared for, provided for, and rested as a community, right? And to that note, I also want to speak up about another really important book for us, the book by Tricia Hersey, Rest is Resistance. It is a masterpiece in illuminating where capitalism has really worn down the capacity to rest for Black bodies, but really by extension for everybody, right? And so it's really such an important book that really guides how we move through this space. So those are two resources that we're bringing up in this podcast. And as always, these are going to be nibbles. We'll be back at this theme again. I don't know. I'm feeling complete. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel complete.
Awesome.
Thanks for having this conversation.
Yes. It's hard. It's heavy. And it's okay. We can do hard things, just like Glennon Doyle tells us all the time. We can do hard things, and it will create the transformation that we all need in our community. So thank you for engaging with us in this conversation. Thank you to my co-host, Jackie, for being with me on this journey. And that's it for us today.
Thank you. And that is our show for this week. This episode was produced by The City Music. As for me, I'm Jackie Gao, and thanks to my co-host, Francie Nicole.
May you move through this week embodying rest, love, and justice in ways that are meaningful to you and your community. Thanks for joining us today.
Peace and love.